Hello, everyone. Welcome to Siyakhuluma Podcast We Talk. I'm so excited to be here today because this is a special episode. I'm going to hand over this episode to Laura, Manasia, Mahomad, and Samira. They are both volunteers with Mental Health Foundation. The Mental Health Foundation works towards good mental health for all. The charity works to provide evidence-based solutions and advice to tackle the root causes of poor mental health. The Mental Health Foundation is also the home of Mental Health Awareness Week, which runs every May in the UK. To find out more, go to mentalhealth.org.uk. I'm going to hand over this episode to Laura, Mahomad, and Samira, and Manasia.
Welcome to Navigate, a guide for people seeking asylum. We are Samira, Mohammed, Manasia, and Laura, volunteers with the Mental Health Foundation. We all have experience of the UK's asylum system and have struggled with our mental health since arriving in the UK. This was mainly because we did not know what our rights are or how to access the services we are entitled to.
As part of the Weaving Threads for Wellbeing project, we all decided to create awareness by discussing issues that affect people asylum seeker. For us, we learned it the hard way. Our experience and interview experts on four different topics about aspects of life in Scotland for people seeking asylum. Some of this information may also be helpful to victims of trafficking here in Scotland. So we would recommend that you give it a listen. We have also put some links that may be useful for victims of trafficking in the show notes.
Mohammed and I, Laura, are happy to be with you. We will be talking about how people seeking asylum can access education. When an adult arrives in Scotland, they are able to access some kinds of education, and being able to do that can support their mental health a lot and their integration. So we are going to explore this topic by speaking to experts and sharing our own experiences today.
In my country, we have a say, al-ilmu nur wal-jahlu dhalam, meaning knowledge is light and ignorance is dark. Education is linked to good mental health, as when a person have arrived in the UK to seek asylum, give them something to focus on. In my experience, studying ESOL at college gave me a sense of purpose and helped me to feel part of something. As well as learning the English language, I learned all about Scotland culture, which made me feel linked to their society. What do you think, Laura?
I agree, Mohammed. Education has also given me the opportunity to improve myself. I have made friends through studying too, which has made me less isolated. Continuing with your education is also a great way to prepare yourself for when you get the right to work, as you learn about the work culture and ethics in the new country.
In this episode, we are excited to go back to basic and discuss education for people who have recently arrived in Scotland to seek asylum. This information may apply across the UK, but we will share our experience from Scotland because that's where we are based. We are pleased to welcome two experts about education to answer our questions.
And on our podcast today, I'd like to welcome Claire Walker, the Student Information and Welfare Manager at Glasgow Clyde College. And we would like to mention that Glasgow Clyde College is one of the many colleges across Scotland that offer courses for people seeking asylum, as well as ESOL. And we are excited to welcome Claire to the podcast today. Hi, Claire.
Hello, Laura. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing today?
I'm all right. Slightly nervous, but okay.
I think we'll be just fine. So, to start, we'd like to ask you a very simple but crucial question. So, can you please tell us what free education
asylum seekers in Scotland are entitled to?
Of course, it's an important question. There's a lot rests in education. So what I would say, first of all, from a child's point of view, from the age of 5 to 16, they would be entitled to free education, both at primary level, so from 5 till about 11, but also then at secondary school higher level, up to the age of 16. Mm-hmm. So that's already in place, and there would be no fees at all attached to that.
Yeah.
For people who are older, if college is the destiny for education, then that typically fees apply at the college level. But there are opportunities to access a course without paying fees. Mm-hmm. But that is very much dependent on the person's status and circumstances, along with what are actually fairly complex rules, both about fees for courses and also the financial support that students would be entitled to. So that's probably so much too much information beyond this podcast. Mm-hmm. But what I would say to anybody who's in that position, who wants to understand better what their opportunities are in college, then we would invite them into college at any point, Monday to Friday, to speak to any one of my teams. So we have an information and welfare team based in both in Annieslaand, Cardonald and Langside. We open at 8:45 in the morning and we close at 4:45 in the evening. Anybody would be welcome to come in. They don't need an appointment. And they can discuss their opportunities, their affairs, which are very personal to them.
Yeah.
But with the information we ask them for, we're in a better position to give them what we would call personal advice that's linked to their circumstances.
Oh, that's good to mention, that they can walk in there and get the information like tailored to their situation, because
exactly,
some people come with qualifications, others left off school in their country, so it's good to know that. So what if some of our listeners, like, or if any of our listeners have recently arrived in Scotland to seek asylum, how can they access the education that they are entitled to? So
okay,
what's the process?
Absolutely. If we go back to the first group, the children, so again, from the age of 5 to 16, they would just get in touch with the local school. So whatever's in their neighbourhood, whatever schools are in their neighbourhood, they would get in touch with them. And it would be the obligation of the school through the local authority to get a place for their children at whatever level they're at. So whether it's secondary school or whether it's primary school, they would simply get in touch with the local school and make arrangements for their children to start school. For anybody else, what would they do? Well, anybody can apply to both university and college for a course and can study part-time. So that opportunity exists straight away, mm-hmm, to do that.
Yeah.
So I would consider that. The other thing to bear in mind is if the individual's looking to study ESOL, even if they're an asylum seeker, they, yeah, can study ESOL on a full-time basis.
Oh.
So just to recap, if you're not school age and you're beyond school age, then look at colleges, look at universities, and you can apply for anything that's part-time. However, in addition, if you want a place studying ESOL and that place is available, you can study that subject on a full-time basis.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that information. But since this will be a guide to new squads and mostly asylum seekers, so some, yeah, of our listeners might not know what ESOL is. Would you tell us what ESOL is and where one can access these classes?
Okay, so ESOL is an abbreviation. It's English for speakers of other languages. Okay, so it's a whole group of people coming from all over the world with different languages, but all of whom have in common the desire to learn English. So that's what we call ESOL. Okay, ESOL is You can certainly study ESOL on a formal basis as we do in college, but actually ESOL and learning English, you can all study in various locations. You don't need a formal course to do it. And it's probably one of the first and maybe the most vital things that an individual can do when they come to a new country, mm-hmm. is to make sure that they can speak the language, because without that, I think it's a very scary prospect and yeah. you're probably not able to access communities and community support as you would need to do. So ESOL is important, very, very important. How do you get a class? Well, certainly you can apply to colleges to come in and study ESOL. But those applications aren't opened all the time. It's simply they open when we have spaces for students. When we're full and our classes are all running, then we wouldn't take on any more students during a period of time. However, there are many opportunities and communities for people to learn English. Okay, so you can go to your local library, you can community centres, you can even go to places of worship. Most of whom, and certainly I would say all of them in certain areas, will put on courses in English, will encourage people to come to their centres to engage in English classes. So that's available now for most people. Okay. So if, for example, you're waiting for colleges to open up applications for more formal learning, then you don't need to waste your time. You can start accessing that learning that's available within your communities.
Mm-hmm. I love the fact that you're encouraging our listeners to like go out into the community and access what is there already if they haven't got a chance to apply to college, because this will definitely help in integration. And as they integrate, they also improve their language skills. You know, there's that misconception that people who come here to seek asylum speak no English, which is not true. Because for some of them, they will have varying levels of English. So for those who are seeking asylum and already speak English, do they still need to study ESOL?
No, they would not need to study ESOL. Mm-hmm. What ESOL is a language course, an English course for those who don't speak much English, okay? Yeah. If, however, the person already speaks English, then they can apply to study any subject they want to study. Obviously, it would be helpful if they have a certificate or some proof of what level their language ability sits at.
Okay.
But where that documentation isn't available for whatever reason, then most universities and colleges would simply interview the candidate and establish the level of English they have. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that all they're looking for, and it's as important to the person interviewing it as it is to the potential student, is to make sure the level of English they have is sufficient for them to engage with and complete successfully the course they're applying to do.
Ah, oh, that's really nice.
Okay.
Because when I was trying to like get into college, there's so many things around ESOL that I had, and that put me off knowing that I could speak English.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, why do I still need to study ESOL? And I was worried that I wasted a lot of time. I should have studied ESOL by now, because now I'm getting an opportunity to get into college. But thank you for mentioning that I do not have to study. I could go in for an interview.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So for people seeking asylum, is there a limit of how many hours they can study at college each week if they're not studying ESOL?
If they're not studying ESOL, and that's a very good point, then there is a limit. We're looking at part-time study. What does part-time study mean? Well, part-time study in general means anything under 16 hours of college class time in a week.
Yeah.
Okay. And most of the courses, certainly at Glasgow Clyde, we will have part-time options for. So part-time study is very popular for all sorts of reasons. So there is availability at a course level to study part-time. And certainly from an asylum seeker's point of view, if it's not ESOL and they want to study a subject, providing that subject's offered where study doesn't take any more than 16 hours of class time a week, they would be absolutely fine with that.
Thank you for mentioning that. So lastly, there are limited numbers of spaces across all colleges, particularly in some areas. So if one does not get into college, what would you advise that they should do?
Okay, I think that's, you're right. It can be difficult, particularly for ESOL. We've got huge demand in this city for ESOL formal classes. But as I explained a wee bit earlier, you can still engage in ESOL learning, but you do it through community classes, libraries, and places of worship, for example. There is a website which is Learn ESOL Glasgow, and the resources within that website are good and will indicate what opportunities exist within each of the communities that people can access. So that's the first thing I would say. And as you said, I think earlier on about communities and engaging with the communities you're finding yourself now living in, even working in charity shops, even giving an hour or two a week in a charity shop, brings you into contact with the public as well as the other people who work in the shop. And you'll find very quickly you can start building up your ability to understand it and speak the language. There's also online, lots of online resources. The BBC have a great resource for learning English. You've got Duolingo as well that you can have a look at. And the library is a huge resource for us. And if it's books and quite often tapes, you know, cassettes or CDs, again, all geared to helping people understand English, these are available now at no cost. So there are many things that an individual can do to help them integrate within their communities while at the same time learning that language that's so vital to them and their families and their ability to settle before they get to college.
I have done some great classes in the community, and most of them were from, some of them were from City of Glasgow College, but yep, through Glasgow City Mission. So I only used to go to Glasgow City Mission to just spend my time because I was not working at the time or in school. Then these courses came up and I got my SQ accredited certificates, which is so rewarding. And I got to know about the Scottish culture. So I hope this has been helpful to our listeners, and we hope that this will answer their questions and guide them in their life in Scotland.
For people who want to stay in education or don't have the right to work yet, university can be the next step after college. So we are delighted to be speaking to Jennifer Thompson-Ross, who is a scholarship coordinator at the University of Glasgow, to discuss how people seeking asylum can go to university in Scotland. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm fine. Nice to be here.
So, can you please tell us a bit about your work at Glasgow University and what your team does?
So I work within the sanctuary team at the university, within the widening participation and scholarships area. And I'm one of their named contacts for forced migrant applicants at the university. My current remit is mainly around scholarships and funding, but we provide pre-entry and application guidance and support around adjusted offers of entry.
Thank you for mentioning that. So the big question is, can a person who is seeking asylum go to university? And if so, how do they pay for it? I think you're the right person to answer this question because you mentioned, like, your job, it's one of your job roles. So please tell us how one can access uni and how they can pay for it.
Yeah, a person seeking asylum can absolutely go to university. Unless you have a no study notice on your immigration bill conditions, you can study at university. The University of Glasgow and many other universities will give you home fee status, that's what we call it, it's home fee status and not the higher international fees. Unfortunately, you'd be unlikely to be eligible for student finance or SAS funding if you're seeking asylum, and you would then be relying on scholarships and bursaries to cover your tuition fees and study costs. And at the University of Glasgow, we offer up to 20 sanctuary scholarships for forced migrants, which would cover your tuition fees and help with study costs and also offer accommodation if required.
That is helpful to know, and I'm sure that a lot of people will be pleased to hear that there are options available to go to university. Can you explain the process of applying for a scholarship and also tell us if a person needs to pay back?
So to be eligible for a scholarship, you first need to hold an offer of a place to study at the university. The University of Glasgow offers scholarships for both undergraduate and postgraduate taught programmes, so that's master's programmes, and the first step for applying is for that programme that you're interested in. So all our programmes, all the courses we offer are listed on our website, and that includes like the entry requirements and how you would apply for them. Once you have applied for a programme, you can then apply for the scholarship. For September entry, our applications for a scholarship are currently open and the deadline will be the 30th of April. The deadline to apply for undergraduate programmes for this academic year, so to start in September 2024, has passed. But if you're interested in postgraduate study, you can still apply. And full details of our sanctuary scholarships and all the other scholarships that we have on offer are on our website, which is at www.gla.ac.uk/scholarships.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for letting us know that. But do I have to pay back the scholarship like I would if I took a loan?
No, you wouldn't need to pay the scholarship back. It's a payment to you. It covers your tuition fees, and there's no need to repay that scholarship once you've graduated.
Thank you for clarifying on that. So, does that mean that I can apply a scholarship for any course while I'm seeking asylum, or are there certain courses that I could get a scholarship for?
At the University of Glasgow, most undergraduate and or postgraduate taught master's programmes are eligible for the scholarship. There are a few exceptions, but there's a full list of all the eligible programmes on our website on the scholarship page for the sanctuary scholarship.
So it is useful to know how the process works at the University of Glasgow, but there are lots of universities across Scotland and the UK. For those who are not in Glasgow, can you tell us if all universities offer scholarships for people seeking asylum?
There are lots of universities in Scotland and in the rest of the UK who offer similar sanctuary scholarships. Some of them will have slightly different names, but they offer similar things. Each university will have different criteria, but there are lots of options out there. There's a website which is really useful called displacedstudent.org.uk, and on there it's got lots of different details from scholarships offered by universities across the UK.
That is so useful. So we know that in many instances, people seeking asylum come to the UK with a wealth of work experience and education. In this case, how can an asylum seeker get their qualifications recognised in the UK?
That would really be on a case-by-case basis. It would depend on the level of study that you're looking at, whether it's undergraduate or postgraduate, for example, and even depends on the university or institution that you're wanting to attend. If you don't have the required qualifications, at Glasgow we offer access programmes and fee waivers. We've got an access to education programme, and that offers an alternative route into university. If you don't currently possess the qualifications required to go straight on to an undergraduate programme, an access programme is certainly an option for you. And we do offer fee waivers to forced migrants, as people seeking asylum on the access programmes too.
So, Jennifer, would you recommend that individuals mention their work experience and qualifications from their home country in applications and interviews when applying for university courses in the UK?
As I said, most at Glasgow, most of our programmes will be covered by the scholarship. But if there is one that you want to study that isn't, it's always worth investigating other sources of funding. For example, undergraduate applicants in Scotland with no access to student finance have the option to apply to the Carnegie Trust. They offer undergraduate tuition fee grants, which would cover your tuition fees. And then there are other scholarships offered by the University of Glasgow or other universities that you can apply for to help with your study costs.
Thank you so much to Jennifer Thompson-Ross from the University of Glasgow for coming to speak to us today about how people seeking asylum can attend university. And our listeners, we really hope you've learned something new about education for people seeking asylum today. As we've said, education in its many forms has supported our mental health a lot since we've been in Scotland. It has helped us have a sense of purpose and feel like moving forwards and improving ourselves. When people experience forced migration, they often lose a lot of things, but education is something we cannot lose. It is always ours, and what we have learned will stay with us wherever we go. That's why we wanted to end this episode on a quote from Max Ehrmann's poem, Desiderata. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time.
It's important to acknowledge that for a person seeking asylum, their journey will be difficult, and this will have a massive impact on their mental well-being. Having a good support structure, this can help reduce anxiety and the constant worry about the future. So, our dear listeners, please look after yourselves and remember, you are not alone.
We will be discussing volunteering in our next episode, which will be live in 2 weeks. Volunteering is another great way to support your mental health and keep your mind busy and stimulated while you are in the process of seeking asylum. So stay tuned for that episode. Until then, kwaheri from I, Laura.
Maasalama from Muhammad.